Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, the only healthcare marketing podcast that digs into the digital strategies and tactics that help you accelerate growth. Each week, Cardinals experts explore innovative ways to build your digital presence and attract more patients. Buckle up for another episode of Ignite.
Okay, guys, welcome to Ignite. This is going to be so fun. We've got an experienced agency and hospital marketer with us. Kaylee, tell them where you're at.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Alex. First of all, I'm so appreciative and amazed at your work. I am a marketing director with significant experience leading both the strategic side and implementing multi-channel campaigns. So that includes everything from the traditional side to digital, including programmatic, social, search engine marketing, email, direct mail, innovative solutions, etc. And primarily in the healthcare space. Quick background, I always wanted to be in healthcare. I volunteered from a very young age in middle school. My mom took me to a nursing facility that housed children that either had HIV or AIDS, or their parents did or could not care for them. I was shocked and just knew from then on I wanted to be in healthcare in some capacity. I went to Georgetown for healthcare administration. And then after graduating, I actually pretty quickly fell into the marketing side and loved it, stayed with it ever since, want to stay in it. It's fun. It's ever changing. It's creative. I almost minored, or I started to minor in Georgetown in art, but quickly learned I was not as talented as everyone else. So whenever I'm on either the agency or the client side and reviewing agency work, I am always so impressed and floored by the creative direction. So right now, I'm currently in a career transition phase. New York Presbyterian had a significant workforce reduction in the marketing and communications department. I was there for 4.5 years, loved it, but I'm now excited for a new opportunity and want to see what I want to do, something a little bit different again and continue learning something new.
Hospitals have had it tough because reimbursements aren't enough, wages are though. And so it's like, oh my God, you know, they got the brunt of it. They saved the world in COVID and we're repaying them by making life very difficult for them. So that's not cool. Well, we're excited to have you, and you've got a few years of agency experience also under your belt. All right, just tell me, you can be honest. There's only 5 listeners to this anyway. So which one do you like better, client or agency side? Just one, which one is better?
Actually, no one asked me that question. I love them both for different ways. I love the agency side because it is so much fun. You're entrenched with all the creatives and brainstorming more with them. On the client side, I do a lot of brainstorming strategy, but I'm not in the room when they're all doing the brainstorming and strategy. Yeah. But, you know, you being on the agency side, the late nights, I had a daughter 6 years ago. And after I had my baby, I mean, 6 years old now, I couldn't be there till midnight every night. Yeah. I was mostly on the pharma side. So, you know, when the FDA launches a drug, you're there until midnight every night. So I went to the client side. And so I like, I'd say more work-life balance, though I am a workaholic. So I put in more hours than most people do. So it's hard. I mean, I like them both for different ways. I'll see where the next role takes me. I'm just excited to continue to do both strategy and some implementing. So we'll see what company wows me and I'll let you know which way I take it.
6-year-old is still your baby. By the way, always going to be. It's still a baby. I've had them for a bunch of years, these things, and still a baby at 14. So definitely the 6-year-old is still cute and a baby. And agency thing is cool. It's, you know, so many different ideas, and you get to bounce from one thing to the next. And I think slightly more innovation because you get to see all of the pitfalls of other companies and then apply them somewhere else. But certainly there is no work-life balance. So let's talk, you know, the big, big hot topic right now is AI. And Kaylee, I think I'm going to do a live stream in May because our team is starting to use it pretty innovatively in different persona-based research and ways that they're running some of the media and content. But you have an interesting thing. So how have you used AI and the stuff that you were doing recently in New York Press or in any kind of marketing stuff?
So we at New York Press Tyrion, I wasn't involved. We didn't do too much AI, except I kind of proactively went into ChatGPT. And if you haven't used it, for those few listeners, it's so much fun. So when I was writing, say, for different projects, whether email, direct mail, et cetera, I want to say it helped me with copywriting, but it really just helped me brainstorm ideas, because by the time I finished a project, it had completely different copy. So for example, you know, I would research different facts for one of my projects that I'm most passionate about were these customer emails. So I would research some awareness months. I asked GPT to modify some of the copy that I wrote. It provided it so quickly. It felt like it was almost like another coworker to me. And then I gave it to a copywriter who I informed I used ChatGPT. So rewrite it completely. She rewrote every word. My manager edited more. So it really was almost like a friend / someone to brainstorm with me and give me some more ideas. That's what I use there.
That's one of the best uses I've seen as well. It's like a brainstorm buddy. The copies, it sounds like a robot. So like with the emoji that puts in there, I'm like, okay, I don't sound like, but it's like a great brainstorm buddy. I've used it all the same way. Like, hey, I need recruitment ideas for DVFs. It's like a veterinarian, right? And so it's like, hey, launch a podcast, go do this kind of thing. I'm like, oh, these are actually good ideas. I know you just skimmed the internet, but it compiles the idea. So good. And then count on changing all the copy.
Yes, exactly.
Good, good. So it's more of, Kayleen, it's more of what I thought it was. It's like an amplifier of our effort, brainstorm buddy, but it's not quite, it's not doing the strategic work and some of the tactical. Can't yet do. It's like this thing's going to take over the world, but it's so far from it. But like we can tell it will, but it's still 5 years away from being super impactful. I think. I don't know. It's like the invention of the internet, but it's still slow and still problematic. All right. So every marketer has different stuff that they're really proud of. Tell me, and I love that you come from healthcare and it matters so much to you. You have personal story. I do too. Like all of us have seen that. I just want to point out that was cool when you told that story, because that's what we find in healthcare marketers, is that a lot of us are mission driven. It's like, e-com is different. Like e-com marketers probably mostly there to generate sales. And like, do they really care about selling more shoes? No, but I love that you've come from this and this matters. Medical marketing is marketing that matters. I love it. And in that vein, what are you most proud of? What kind of initiative have you launched in the last few years? Because our listeners like to listen to that and they're like, that really works. So tell us.
Sure.
Give us a spill the beans.
Yeah. So I think I just quickly mentioned earlier, I think the email campaign comes to me most readily. Specifically, I initiated an email campaign that was sent to current patients to upsell them to additional specialists. And what I want to note is what I'm also most proud about this tactic and other tactics when I was at New York Presbyterian is I've worked so closely with the operations team. So we had a new VP of operations for the physician services department, which is what I managed, is the physician offices, not necessarily the hospital. And she was great at bringing me into meetings and, you know, thinking about the strategy before creating a campaign or launching a campaign, to make sure I was upselling to specialists that have availability and to help meet their quality goals, such as they had certain cancer screening goals for breast cancer, colon cancer, making sure the diversity methods were met. The way I started this is when I first started at New York Presbyterian, and I created a newsletter that was more of a loyalty tactic, and it gave something above and beyond their visit, but it had a lot of content and it was mostly like a newsletter. It had a few different articles. It was very time consuming, interviewing a few providers, writing the articles, editing them, making sure.
Not broken out by service line, just like general, not broken out by condition or service. General, all patients. Get to find out about the, got it. Okay. Yep,
exactly. So then fast forward, we had a new SVP join the marketing and communications team, a wonderful SVP. And then she wanted to make sure we sent this to all patients. So not just the medical group patients. So I didn't want to have two newsletters, obviously. So I was thinking, I still have access to this database. Is there a way, instead of just this loyalty tactic, now I had time to try to create something that was an upsell? So I was wondering if another email would be fine. Would people still click on another email? We had good open rates with the newsletter around 50%. So I tried it, and yes, people continue to click. We even had a higher open rate than the new newsletter. And what I did, I didn't want to just do a cold upsell, get these amazing new specialists. So I thought of the monthly health observed months, so like breast cancer, colon cancer month, et cetera. I researched those and then partnered with the operations team. So Leslie Smalls, the VP, wonderful team. So collaborated with them on what made sense for each location. So we oversaw over 120 offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Westchester, and Putnam. So they all had different specialists and different availability. So I made sure it made sense that they had availability. And then we tested different things, which was so much fun with email. I had a new email counterpart. So we tested everything. You know, I brainstormed with them to think of different types of subject lines, pre-headers, images, you know, whether an image with a doctor or just a lifestyle image with only a patient worked better. If a male or a female photo worked better, depending on who we sent it to, everything. So that was a lot of fun. I think I'm very passionate about it for the fact that I kind of was doing this one thing and the newsletter, and then it changed. You know, I wasn't able to do that anymore. But instead, I thought of something instead of just this loyalty tactic, a way to upsell. And my partnership with the operations team, I feel like, made sure that we had the highest conversion rate as possible.
I love it. And thank you just for calling it upsell. I think we try to beat around the bush in healthcare marketing. Anyway, we want to educate them on the potential care and make sure they follow their plan of care and all that. So come on, it's an upsell. We're trying to get patients back in. Yes, we want to make sure they keep healthy, and that's so important for preventative. They got to come in for screening, but it's an upsell. Come on, marketers, let's just call it what it is and catch up with the other industries. It's okay. It doesn't diminish that we're loving people and making sure they get healthy. Okay, I love that. Walk me through it a little bit more. So, and the second thing I heard, we talk about it, MOPS all the time, marketing and ops alignment. Yes. My friend Teresa told me, and I just won't stop running with it. So you made sure that the operational, there was the capacity there and desire probably. Hey, you guys can actually pick up the phone when I start driving screenings in April. Like, I guess, you know, it's probably part of the conversation, right? Yeah. So walk me through that. What is the indicator? They've come in, they're cardiology patients. And so we see they're turning 50. We want to test them for AFib. This is not a good example, but they're turning 40 and we know they've got to come in for prostate check. Like, what were the indicators and how did you funnel that through?
Sure. I wanted to reach the most number of patients as possible. So there were a couple instances, such as colon cancer, where I narrowed it down to a certain age, I think 45 and above male patients, and tried sending just to that one. But for the ones such as breast cancer month and some of the others, I wanted to reach as many people as possible. And so I changed the language to not just speak to women, but, you know, for yourself or a loved one, make sure you get your breast cancer visits. Or for lung cancer, I knew it didn't hit as many people as possible. A smaller number of people are affected with lung cancer, no less people about it. So instead, I would put a smaller call to action after these awareness month facts. So I'd give them facts about, you know, lung cancer or breast cancer, kind of motivating why it's important to have your screenings. And then for lung cancer, for example, I had a smaller call out that said, like, or talk to your doctor about get screenings for breast cancer, et cetera. So it didn't just speak to that one specific thing. We didn't want to. And in healthcare marketing, we want to make sure we don't seem like we're just reaching out to you for your one condition all the time. It's a little bit more of like, you know, big brother. We want to also relate to other people for not just their condition. So give them something additional as well as just that. So
it's more location-based. Hey, we know you live within 15 miles of Westchester. Yes. You've seen us the last couple of years, and I know you're 40 years old, so you're going to need to come in for a colon screening eventually in the next few years. Or you know, so location and age-based, very important. As much as you're comfortable, nitty gritty, I love to know the technology you use and how'd you track success?
Sure. I wasn't part of the digital team, so I partnered with them. They did use Salesforce, and I'm not sure exactly what their methods were for tracking. I'm the one who they sent all their analytics to, and I would see, you know, what performed best, what links performed best, et cetera. Cool. And I would see the different tests that we did and what performed better, and then made recommendations for the next one based on the performance.
so interesting how hospital marketing, it's a little different than my typical client, which is a PE-backed provider group. It's segmented out. So you were overall campaign ideation. You'd come up with a copy, the creative, who we're sending to, and then send it over to digital team for execution. And then there's an analytics team. And all the digital peoples, they come back with results, open click rates, all of that stuff. And hey, we this many more screenings came into our CRM or additional screen. Yeah. So that's they tracked all the way through is what I hear there, though. There was CRM action. Which is cool. And New York Pres must have been one of the first health systems to onboard a CRM, because I'm not hearing about that nearly enough these days with the bigger groups. Yeah. So cool.
Right. So it's very cool. For me, I had the medical group database because it was a smaller group. And for some reason, they tracked more than I think the hospital side. So I was a little bit lucky in being able to find those numbers.
They segmented out. So it's all the provider groups is a little different than the...
Exactly.
How many people were in marketing there? Is this like a 100-person team?
Yeah. So when we had our last SVP, it was so small. You know, I feel like... it started with a few people before I joined. And then maybe it was like 10 people or so when I joined. And then once our new SVP joined, it grew. I think we had 90 people, or it was expected to be 90 people. They were trying to grow to that amount. Then, of course, the budget cut happened. So, you know, they didn't
not 90 anymore. More like 9. All right. Very cool. And I know you're a mama, and you are the most lucrative patient profile that anybody goes after. Everybody wants the mama, right? And so how has that changed how you look at finding care and how you think about marketing?
Huge. You nailed on the head. So when I was younger, before being a mom, I graduated school, moved to New York. I would just look online at my health insurance plan, see who was covered and which doctors were closest to me, gave a call. Once I had my daughter and then moved to the suburbs, bought a house where now I feel like we're going to live through at least until my daughter graduates high school. I wanted to find people who were really good, not just for her, but for my husband and I, not just doctors, tradespeople, because it impacts my family now. And so I think the way I find them now is word of mouth. And I think I didn't realize how many people do recommend not just doctors, but tradespeople by word of mouth. So now I'm constantly hearing other people ask for recommendations and talk about their experiences. And one thing I like to remind people is, you know, digital is great. I love the digital space, but we have to go back to basics and remember word of mouth, because I think that's what creates the most conversions. And so in the healthcare space, it's harder. If it's retail, you're buying a shirt or a product and, you know, it makes you happy at first and it's fine. But with healthcare, for the doctor visits, you have to first think about, you know, how long is a lag time to get an appointment? The person answering the phone, are they friendly? The front desk staff, when you go in there, are they friendly? How long is the wait time, the amount of time with a physician? And it's just, it's so many components. And my friends and I and other people, we all talk about these experiences. And so it's a lot harder in the healthcare space to have a great experience, but it's so important. And that's why also when I partnered with the operations team, it was great to make sure they have availability, because we don't want someone to rush and then complaining to their friends about it. And then you lose this whole huge market where people have their kids and want lifelong doctors that are important to their kids and their family.
I love it. When I ask that question, I never hear word of mouth. I will say it's very rare that because we want to be like PPC, man. PPC drives all the leads, right? Especially if they're talking to me, they know what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And what you just mentioned, word of mouth, it is the hardest thing to get right, because it's not just what we do as air cover marketers. Like, we make sure you know about the brand and you feel good about the brand. But then it's all of the six steps of the patient experience. Did they pick up the phone? Did they say the right things? Were they warm and nurturing? Did they answer the payer questions correctly when they came in? Did anyone greet them? Was the office clean? Did the provider not take 2 hours to actually see them? Is the NP helpful? Holy smokes. And so as marketers, if we want to get it right, it's the hardest thing to track.
Yeah.
And so we don't pay enough attention to it because it's not, right. It won't go in our performance review because you can't track how we did. But if we want to get it right, it's like, I guess, Kaylin, we got to work with ops and we have to see like,
exactly.
I don't even know. It's like back to basics. How do we track it? You work with ops, you go pretend to be a patient. Like, how do we improve that? Surveys? I don't know.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. The problem is people don't think of word of mouth because you can't track it or it's really difficult to track. But so we opened up an office recently. So with that one, the new VP, I think it was one of the first ones that she opened up at New York Presbyterian under her. So I actually went there and spent some time listening to, and she did too, and her team did, to see and kind of sneak, but really just, you know, they knew who we were. So it wasn't really a secret shopper, but still they forgot we were there and they talked to, you know, certain patients. They looked a certain way. It was a very affluent town, Larchmont in Westchester. And so the VP said, you know, you have to have people that Larchmont residents are used to seeing and, you know, make sure you dress to the nines and you put on this fancy makeup because that's what people expect. So yeah, it's hard to track, but that's what makes the most conversions.
Larchmont, it sounds like a place I need to go check out. Yeah, it's hard to track and you're gonna secret shopper, not so secret shopper. Also your Google reviews. And if you don't have an active like review management system, well, then you're just gonna collect all the negative Nancy's, but you're gonna get a feel for where the issues. I've seen something that can help, call and lead tracking systems that a lot of people are using. You can like listen for the issues, why they didn't book. Is it the operator wasn't asking the right questions? Yeah. We don't have the right payer partnerships there. Shouldn't have been advertising because no capacity. So
yeah.
I think those technologies can help, but at the end of the day, getting boots on the ground and like go visiting the office, are they friendly? Are they paying attention? Is their capacity? All of that fun stuff. So patient experience all the way through, so important. And I love that we talked about it because we're too focused on driving leads and not focused enough on making sure that lead becomes a patient. We need to think about from clicks to care and make sure that care part is happening and that they're excited about it. Marketers are getting hit with like, why is our ad spend so inefficient? Homie, it's not. Mm-hmm. Y'all can't convert them and you're not keeping them happy when I send them to you.
Right. That was something I kept trying to reinforce is if we are motivating patients, we're creating these, you know, amazing programmatic ads, social ads, influencers, telling people to come to our offices. But then you go online and it's a poor user experience to actually book an appointment, let alone find an appointment that is like 4 weeks or less. If we're finally motivating people and spending all that money, but then it's like 8 weeks till an appointment, we are motivating people to then find a different provider, go online and then find someone who is available sooner. So we lost a patient, paying to lose patients.
It's paying to lose patients. And you know what? Y'all provide great care New York Press provides great care. So when you don't do it, some other schmucko down the road is going to do it and they're not. And so that's not cool because that patient's not going to get the care they deserve. One, two, you know what really ticked me off the other day? I sent an email. I'm trying to get this weird lasered around my eyes. Apparently it's fat deposits. Anyways, HIPAA, PHI violation myself. And so I reached out, I sent an email to a derm office. No response. It's been 3 days. Don't have an email form if you can't respond. That happens all the time with email forms. I don't think provider groups are set up to really process that. It doesn't go to a call, you know, like it's don't have the email. Yes. Guys, user experience, like Haley mentioned, user experience, make sure you can get an appointment really quickly. Yeah. Make sure if you have an email form, you respond. Guys, it's not simple being a marketer anymore. User experience matters. Patient experience matters. Can't just drive leads if they don't get care. Woo! Kaylin, any trends you're really excited about in 24, stuff you'd do more of or stuff you would stop? And we'll my final question.
Sure. So, I mean, again, first I think about digital, but I think, you know, at first programmatic, I think is too invasive, right? So although it hits a lot of people and, you know, everyone will continue to do it as a marketer, even myself, I see something pop up when I'm trying to read an article and I am forced and I want to look at the creative, but then I sometimes exit out because I want to continue to you know, watch. And people have ad blockers, et cetera, but everyone is on social media. So I go to that next in my mind, but specifically influencers. The issue, though, people are smart enough now to realize those mega influencers are, you know, they're just being paid. So I'd say a little bit more about the maybe nano influencers. I think are a little more, people find them genuine. Hopefully they are genuine. But again, I think people are smart enough to realize that even these smaller influencers are getting paid. So I would probably go to ethical marketing because people these days, they care about the environment, social issues. And I think with social media, it's becoming so popular. And the younger generation, I even read something that people are choosing careers based on their DEI efforts and, you know, the ethics that they have and offer at the company. And my younger sister, she was buying a new car. They wanted an EV, an electronic vehicle. They didn't want Elon Musk's Tesla because, you know, her, they don't like his labor practices, the poor treatment of workers, of animals, et cetera. Huge contributor to, you know, global wealth gap. Hopefully he doesn't hear me saying this, but instead they chose a company that didn't even have any cars on the road yet. So Fisker, founded by a guy as a solution to ocean debris and emissions. And the car is actually, their car is called Fisker Ocean. So not just natural energy source, but they use sustainable materials to build the cars. You know, Amazon, so many people are against Amazon. You know, it's a monopolistic behavior. Again, how do they treat their customers or their employees? But then they had some really smart ads that I bet convinced people like myself that they showed how they help small businesses. And, you know, it was really emotional. One of the commercials I saw and certain other companies are going that way. And I think that's the way you have to reach, especially the newer generations, ethical marketing. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, and the privacy thing, all of the HIPAA regulations that we're all having to adjust to, it's part of it going full on into privacy. And I think it can be a USP. Hey, we take your privacy so seriously. We're not tracking any of your stuff. We'll never like micro market you to where we know your condition or, you know, harp on the stuff. And you mentioned that. Like, I'm not just going to hone in on someone's condition. So that's good. So I think that does matter. And I think we are all looking at that. Fisker, actually, he had failed before with a car. I think it was Karma something. My neighbor's got one of them. And so now he's retooled it, reinvented. They went bankrupt. He's redone it. So very good for him. And that stuff does matter to all of us because we're looking at our kids and we're like, sorry, I hope you have an environment to live for 30 years.
Exactly.
And Let me do something to try.
Yeah. And it goes to show, like Fisker, they had, you know, not created or failed at a car in the past. But my sister and her husband didn't care because he cared so much about the environment. That's all that really mattered to them on picking a car. It wasn't even price. That car. You know, that didn't even matter to them.
Okay. I hope that works out for sister. All right. We'll see. This has been a blast. Thank you for joining Ignite. I love this. We got to talk some tactical stuff. We got to talk some impactful healthcare marketing stuff, some trends stuff, and how word of mouth matters more than any of the fancy stuff that we do. Caitlin, thanks for joining us on Ignite.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. I appreciate it and had so much fun too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ignite. Interested in keeping up with the latest trends in healthcare marketing? Subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review. For more healthcare marketing tips, visit our blog at cardinaldigitalmarketing.com.